In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club. Thanks for turning it on, leaving it on. Sean and RJ, we're going to lead you into July 4th and your shortened week as quickly as possible. Corey Majors will join us for a Rangers All-Star version of High Low, along with Brett Boone in the final hour of the show. We are your home of the World Series champs, but of course, we have been obsessed with the Dallas Mavericks and the Klay Thompson signing. And yesterday, you had sent over a little blurb that kind of got buried because this came out 2 days ago, and this is from Jason Dumas. Jason Dumas, just so you know, is the sports director, a sports director in California, sideline reporter in the G League, and host on the station that I hate, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco,
California,
with that morning show that only does 3 hours during morning drive. So this guy, he's got some credentials. This isn't Sexy Ricky or whoever we were talking about.
Pretty Ricky.
This isn't Pretty Ricky, who we were talking about yesterday with the CeeDee Lamb possible trade request. Here is what Jason Dumas tweeted. Klay Thompson's antics behind the scenes have been equally exhausting as Draymond Green's. Klay has been equally as exhausting. It's not as loud. It's not as loud because it's not you stomping on someone's chest. If he's slamming stuff on the bench and sulking and doing that on the court, how do you think it is in practice? How do you think it is in the locker room? It has been uncomfortable. It just doesn't come out as loudly as Draymond's. Concern? You think legit? Or an attempt at a smear campaign for the Warriors to try to save face a little bit to their fan base who are not happy that the dynasty is over and has been broken up?
I think it can be both. I think these things absolutely can be true, and also that this is a disgruntled teammate employee telling Dumas these things about Klay. So, like, I think it can be like he is being...
like, equally exhausting as Draymond. I take issue with that. You want to say, hey, Klay can be temperamental. Klay can throw a lot of fits. Klay can sulk. Okay, fine. Like, we have that here with our star players as well. But equally as exhausting as everything that Draymond Green put you through, I find that offensive.
Right. Would it surprise me if he is, if Draymond rubbed off on Klay after a decade? It would not surprise me at all. Would it surprise me that Klay has a diva aspect to him because he was, you know, seen as one of the best shooters of all time, and then they offer him a lowball contract, and that kind of made him think, like, it kind of gave him that diva mentality? Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Does that mean that it carries over? That's the thing. You know, doesn't always carry over stop to stop.
And maybe it was more last year. Last year versus throughout his career, because all the insiders are saying Klay knew last year it was over. He's obviously dealing with the emotions of two major injury recoveries. Yeah. And as he admitted in one of the post games, you're also dealing with a decline in your game. He's like, it's tough. You're one of the best players in the league, and I'm sitting here coming off the bench. That's a lot of negative emotion.
Yeah, like if I found out that Clay this time 8 years ago was doing the same thing, that's one thing.
Yeah.
If it's just last year, I don't really care about just last year, because I get it. Because he felt like he was underappreciated with the contract they gave him. And then obviously the decline in play and the decline in talent as you age is got to be tough for somebody to deal with.
Look, this is the morale that I always talk. Sorry, were you done?
Go.
This is the morale that I always talk about no matter what your job is. You got screwed on a contract. They're not giving you any offer, but yet they want you to go ahead and come to work every single day as if that stuff does not exist. It's just not realistic and in many cases humanly possible. And it sounds like Klay Thompson was playing with this bitterness all of last year. As you said, hopefully it doesn't carry over to years prior, but man, the jolt of emotion and appreciation he is going to feel, this is going to be so great for him emotionally, because he can be treated like an absolute hero at the AAC. The first time when those three balls are in the air and that American Airlines crowd is all holding their breath and waiting to explode when the first one goes in, or when he's trying to make his third one in a row, that brand new team, brand new fan base feeling, it's going to give him an adrenaline high that needles could.
Yeah, look, there's
some needles could.
There's obviously going to be he's going to go on a heater. There's going to be a game
like
where he's
these needles I've been taking.
Oh, baby, look at that.
Oh, well, yeah.
Look at those trap marks.
Yeah, baby.
What happened?
You gave me these.
Oh, the place I told you to go.
The blood testing.
Yeah, they got you bad,
got
huh?
Got me all bruised up. Then I go to the hospital with my daughter, and I have a short sleeve shirt, and they're looking at me like, do you need to be admitted here?
Yeah.
You need a bed?
You need to come in?
You need something?
Man. Did they ask her any questions? Man, we'd like to ask you some questions.
Sir, can you leave the room? Yeah. But anyway.
It could absolutely be that it was just last year. Again, if this goes back 2, 3, 4 years, much more concerned. If it's just last year that he was temperamental and a pain in the butt to be around, then I have no doubt that it was situation caused and not necessarily that this dude is a diva. He might be. We don't know. He might have done a great job of hiding it.
Of course, yesterday, all the national shows were going to focus on the Lakers getting left out in the cold and the Mavs. Little old Dallas, Texas beats mighty Los Angeles. And the great Brian Windhorst on ESPN explained why it was just a better fit here.
I actually probably don't think it was that close for Clay. I mean, I know that the Lakers are a big draw because they're his hometown team, but they're not comparable to where the Mavericks are from winning, from competing for championships. The Mavericks are right there on the doorstep. And they were here in L.A. with Nico Harrison, their general manager, with Jason Kidd, their head coach. And they presented him with a very clear plan of how they were going to use him. And as you mentioned, there's clearly a hole exactly where he would fit in as a spot-up three-point shooter, an above-the-break three-point shooter especially, where he could really thrive in what they've already got going.
You know, I found that kind of funny when Windhorst is like, yeah, they sold him. They got the perfect role for him, just shooting threes. And I'm like, is that really that rare of a role
in today's NBA?
In today's NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the break, we want you to stand out there and shoot it, Clay. We have this specialized offense and role just for you in mind.
Nobody's ever done this. Not the team you play for currently. Yeah, they don't do that at all.
The Lakers, they would have you. They would have you in the post.
The Lakers didn't just hire a catch and shoot shooter as their head coach who wouldn't be able to draw up plays for you.
Or draft one.
Or they didn't just draft one either. That basically is like a clone of yours. They didn't do that. There's no way. It had to be Dallas.
And then Windhorst with one more comment on why this was just a pretty easy selection.
Here's the thing. Like, the Lakers are still a bit of a mystery. J.J. Redick, we're not exactly sure what his system is going to look like, how he's going to operate. Clay knew for months he was leaving the Warriors, and he got to spend the whole spring basically shopping. He watched Dallas win three playoff series and go to the finals. total recruiting pitch for him, whether they knew it or not. So the fact that the state income tax was a factor in making this actually worth a little bit more money than the Lakers offer, I guess I'll throw that on the pile. But I think this was probably a pretty clean decision that it took Clay, he wanted to hear the Lakers out and, get past the heartstrings there. But Dallas makes the most sense for him in a vacuum.
The Mavs did get a good boost from the finals run. I mean, there was a lot of fun that was added to that. The last time they went on a finals run, they didn't have that. Why? Because the league went to a lockout immediately after, and everything got pushed back. And then Cuban basically blew the whole team up. They didn't get a real benefit from that.
Yeah.
There's obviously intrigue of playing. Kyrie's a big draw for players. He's liked around the league.
Yeah, he helped recruit.
Yeah, I have no idea what kind of draw Luka is. I don't know if players enjoy playing with him in that style of basketball.
And Tim McMahon says he's not going to recruit.
No, it's not who he is. And I wonder if that's just a Euro thing. Like, does Joker really recruit? Giannis?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Giannis maybe more so.
Maybe.
He's apparently trying to recruit Westbrook. I don't know.
It's just there's different elements to that. But Kyrie certainly does. And I think that he is a draw.
Then you have Clay's dad.
This loser.
This little bit selfish from Michael Thompson, the former Laker and current Laker broadcaster who hopped on Sirius XM and was asked for his raw emotion in the moment after his boy did not pick the purple and gold.
Yeah, hold your congratulations, Frank and Scala. I'm not too feeling too much in a congratulatory mood right now. Because obviously it's Clay's decision, it's his life. He's a grown man, 34 years of age, just like we were 34 at one time. Scal, Frank, and our father used to give us advice, and we would go choose our own path, and that's fine. That's what life is supposed to be about. But I'm really disappointed. I was hoping, as you can assess, that he would be a Laker, and it was close. It came down to the Lakers and the Mavs, but the Mavs won out. But I was hoping and praying he'd finish his career with the Lakers.
He's crushed.
He's crushed. He's crushed.
He said, "Hold off on the congratulations."
Yeah, I'm not in a congratulatory mood. Are you kidding me?
You gotta be kidding me. Here's my possible theory. Is he just trying to kiss ass to the Laker fan base and organization? I don't even want to congratulate my own son because I love the Lakers
maybe
that much. Is this self and job preservation at the expense of being happy for his kid, which he may be really behind the scenes? I don't know. That's just what I was thinking, because like you, it was so hard to fathom that he's this crushed, devastated, and upset that his kid made a decision that he thinks is best for him while being closer to a fifth ring.
Yeah, I don't know that. Isn't Michael Thompson been there forever? Like, they're not going to fire him for, being a father and just speaking. Like, they're not going to do that. Like, this is wild. Wild. Like, I'll tell you, if Luka decides he's going to go play baseball at the University of Alabama.
Your kid.
My son, you will never catch me in Tennessee gear again. You just won't.
Yeah, man, I jumped ship on a stab Joey McGuire, Texas Tech in the back for Vanderbilt, godson.
You will never catch me in Tennessee gear again if my kid goes to wherever he goes, either one of them, that's my team. Like, that's who I root for. If there's a play there, if he's going to go there, we have a different story, but he's going to play there.
Yeah. They then asked Michael Thompson, how close was it? How close was the decision between L.A. and the Mavs?
When he told me that the Lakers were talking to him or going to talk to him, and the Mavs too, obviously I tried to sell the playing for the Lakers. Obviously that's the right thing for me to do and the proper thing for me to do, and I felt like it was the correct thing for me to do because I really believe in this franchise. The franchise has been so good to me and my family, including Clay. He grew up a Laker fan. He grew up idolizing Kobe Bryant like most players his age, most kids his age. So I just thought it seemed like it would be the perfect fit for him to finally come back home, because we always talked about him playing for the Lakers if he was not a Golden State Warrior. Where else would he want to play? And, of course, being a fan of Kobe.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
He would have loved to have played for the Lakers, but he had a chance, and when the chance came, he chose the Mavericks instead. And I'll live with it. I accept it, and I'm happy for him that he's happy with his decision. But yeah, of course, I tried to sell him on the Lakers.
Yeah, I'll wake up tomorrow. I'll be alive. I'm gonna live with this decision. I'm gonna live with it.
What does it say, man? That LeBron James, maybe the greatest player of all time, calls you immediately. They offered more years. And your dad was there.
Yeah.
And you still said no.
Are
you embarrassed?
It makes me question the relationship him and his dad have. and really, like, the whether he loves LeBron or not, you know, makes me question those things. Because this is such a deviation from the rest of the NBA. The rest of the NBA, they don't necessarily view team fit. They view city. And friends. They want to play with their friends. They want to play with their city. And this is kind of a deviation from all that. It just is. Like, you got to be honest. Like, Dallas does not get chosen in the NBA circles. The Mavs got chosen here. That's cool to see.
Someone says that we are potentially 1 month away from everything blowing up on the Dallas Cowboys. We'll tell you who said it and see if you believe it next on Sean and RJ. A special surprise for the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. Thanks for turning it on, leaving it on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. The headline from Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, is Cowboys are running out of time to avoid a mess. And there's one line in here that just hit me based upon what I said 24 hours ago, that like the positive influence on my right shoulder wants the Cowboys to win 12 games again, and hopefully make it to the NFC Championship game. But with the way that they've handled this offseason, the devil on my left side, and I don't want this as my preference, I want to make that clear, but the left side is like, I just want to see it all burn to hell. I want to see it implode right in Jerry and Steven's face. And I saw this line, and I had to hit up Florio as he wrote, all this is potentially going to blow up later this month. So let's talk about the possible blow up and everything else with Mike Florio on the D&M Leasing Hotline, joining us live on Sean and RJ. Good morning. You're not busy? Everyone else taking off? You're not busy this morning doing all your shows?
Well, I'm busy, but just in a different way. Our show's on hiatus. It always is this time of year, but I do my PFTPM podcast in the afternoon. I'm able to sleep in the morning until I wake up. I still wake up at the time my alarm would go off. It's just nice waking up without the alarm going off. So I happen to be sitting here plotting my next piece at PFT when you texted. So I was available to talk. So it's good to talk to you.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us, brother. All right. Talk about how this whole thing could potentially blow up.
Well, you've got the three guys whose contract situations remain unsettled. And this is the reason why they weren't able to go all in with free agents. They had to figure out Dak's contract first with that $55.4 million cap charge this year and a $54.5 million dead cap charge next year if they don't work something out before his contract voids. As a starter, if they sign him after the contract voids, they go above and beyond 54.5 with whatever cap number he'd have. And then you got CeeDee Lamb at $17.9 million in his fifth-year option, who is not willing to be patient and is reportedly planning not to show up for training camp. That was the thing that really sparked my brain to look at this and say, okay, CD's not going to show up, reportedly. Micah Parsons shouldn't show up at all. And I know he said he's willing to be patient. I don't care what he said. He plays a position that's conducive to injury. If you suffer an injury that falls between career-ending and something he could recover from to the point where he's never the same, that prevents him from ever getting the kind of money he already deserves. The problem is they can't get to him because first they got to get Dak solved, Then they got to get CD solved. Then they move to Micah. They need to get all three of these done. These should have been done months ago, and it's all potentially coming to a head. If CD holds out, and if Micah does what Ezekiel Elliott did 5 years ago, because remember, Zeke showed up for the offseason program in 2019 and then didn't show up for training camp, and it was a surprise. Even though Micah is saying he is willing to wait, maybe between now and July 24, he says, screw that, I want my contract, I'm not showing up. If two of those three don't show up for camp, that's a problem for the Cowboys.
Why not all three do that, though? Like, why strength the numbers, all three just say, hey, look, you're gonna get us all signed or we're all skipping camp?
Well, because Dak doesn't have any reason to skip camp. He's holding all the cards. He's got all the leverage. And all he's got to do is go out and play well this season, and he hits the open market. They can't restrict him. They can't restrain him. He becomes a free agent. And I think at some level they're pondering the possibility of letting him find out what else is out there for 2025 so he'll know that he should take the Cowboys offer after the season ends, if that's where it goes. And I think based upon the fact that we don't have a deal yet and we didn't have a deal at a time when that cap space would have made a difference because it could have caused CeeDee Lamb to get a new deal, Mike to get a new deal, money left over to sign other players. I feel like this is going to go into next year. There's still a chance to get it done before the start of camp. But if I'm Dak, there's no reason to hold out. I got one more year, and then I go wherever I want to go, even if I end up staying exactly where I am.
How do you think the Goff and Trevor Lawrence deals affect Dak? And do you think we are looking at $60 million a year now?
I don't think it affects Dak because Dak's leverage comes from the fact that he's in the final year of the contract that he signed after the Cowboys dragged their feet for far too long. They should have gotten him signed after his third NFL season. They benefited from the final year of his rookie contract at like, what, $2-4 million, something that was embarrassingly low relative to what Dak had accomplished. And then they got tagged for a year. And then when they tagged him the second time, that's when they finally woke up and realized, wait a minute, we're screwed here because next year he's Kirk Cousins. Next year, the only way to keep him is to give him a 44% increase over his 20% bump from his first year franchise tag. We're not going to do that. We better sign him. And when he did that four-year, $140 million deal with all the triggers in there, with all the things in there that kept them from franchise tagging, that forced them back to the table after 3 years, I remember saying, hey, this is better than Patrick Mahomes' contract. And look where Dak is. And the leverage comes from the contract. The market is the market, as Tua Tagovailoa said a few weeks ago. I think Dak was already in position to get to 60 if he wanted to get to 60 without Lawrence and Goff. Lawrence and Goff getting what they got makes it an even easier argument, but that leverage all flows from the urgency to drop the cap number for this year and next year.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, joining us live on the D&M Leasing Hotline on Sean and RJ. Let me play devil's advocate with...
Devil's doing fine on his own.
All right, let me play advocate with today's NFL practice rules and the offseason continuing to become less and less important with what the players don't want to do. So what if Micah or Lamb miss training camp? Does it really matter with today's practice rules?
Well, yeah, training camp is the foundation. That's where everything gets up to speed. That's where guys are in shape and ready to go when the season begins. And because of the practice rules, there's a certain baseline you want to have when week one rolls around, because we've seen the first 4 weeks of the season now are almost a continuation of training camp, getting guys into their best possible shape. If you want everyone to be ready to go out of the gates and compete with the Eagles and the Giants and the Commanders in a year where it feels like those other three teams were able to improve, although the Giants, it's arguable whether or not it was a net gain, but for the Cowboys, what have they really done to improve over what they were last year? So it's going to be a challenge, and you don't want to be starting off 1-3 or 1-2 when you could steal a couple of games early that maybe you would have lost if your guys weren't ready to go. So it's always important to have your guys there for training camp. When there's pressure, when there's scrutiny, when there's attention, when Mike McCarthy is in the last year of his contract and Bill Belichick is hovering out there, there's just so many things that are going on for this team right now. They've got to get these contract situations worked out. Mike is a foundational player on any team in any era, and they need to get that figured out. CeeDee Lamb, I don't know what they want to do long-term, but I'm sure they'd like to have him there this year for $17.9 million. And Dak, they presumably want to keep around indefinitely. And the thing about because I get the argument all the time, just let him go, just let him go, just let him go. Who are you going to replace him with? That's why these quarterbacks keep getting paid, because even though I'll say, well, who are the Jaguars bidding against when they gave Lawrence his contract? Who are the Lions bidding against when they gave Goff the contract? They're bidding against the possibility of being caught with no one.
Yeah.
And what do you do when you have no one? Who do you get? Where do you turn? And you roll the dice in the draft and you hope a guy, you know, look at what happened to the Vikings. Cousins is gone and they got to hope J.J. McCarthy develops. And if he doesn't, where do you go next? And I think the Cowboys want to avoid that. Where do we go next at quarterback?
Mike, have you heard other teams start itching over the possibility of Dak hitting free agency, or too early for that?
Too early for that. But look, there will be plenty of quarterbacks that become free agents after the season. That's become a recent trend for years under the relaxed and almost true free agency rules of the NFL. Veteran quarterbacks who were good enough never made it to free agency. We've seen over the past several years more and more guys hit the market. And I've raised this question with Dolphins fans who are adamant that the Dolphins should break the bank for Tua. And I raised the question with Chris Sims on our PFT Live show before our hiatus. Would you rather pay Tua $50 million a year now or wait until next year and pay Dak $60 million? And you can make the argument it's better to wait for Dak if you're Miami and pay him and sign him instead of making the commitment to Tua, that Dak in that offense would be far better than Tua has been. So I think teams would be foolish to not be doing their long-term planning, but so much of it depends upon what happens this year. And what happens this year is there's going to be good teams, there's going to be bad teams, and the bad teams are going to be looking for ways to get better. And one way to get better is to get a new quarterback, and Dak is going to be, absent a deal that gets done before the end of the season, Dak is going to be in that mix of potential options for teams looking to improve.
Mike Florio here on The Fan. We've heard conflicting reports now about Mike McCarthy being fed up with Jerry Jones. What have you heard? And what do you make of the stories?
Well, this was one of those things that was said weeks ago, and one of the Twitter bots breathed life into it last week, so I ignored it. And I think when you look at what Tyler Dunn said on a podcast, it wasn't as jarring as the way it was presented by whichever Twitter bot account ended up dusting this thing off. Of course, Mike McCarthy is going to have a certain degree of frustration. He can say, I've won 12 games for the last 3 years. Why don't I have a new contract? Why do I have to go out and sing for my supper? Why do I have to prove myself? Why do I have to coach through this distraction of being a lame duck? There was a time when NFL teams did everything they could to not have a coach in the final year of his contract. Now, those days have ended, but it is a distraction, and it does undermine the authority of the coach. When you get guys in the locker room who are able to look at each other and kind of roll their eyes and say, this guy's gone by next year anyway. Who cares what he says? Who cares? He has no power over us. He's getting fired at the end of this season. Or maybe he'll get fired, or maybe he'll be back, or maybe he'll choose to leave. But you don't have that same ability to lead a locker room full of men when you are in the last year of your contract. And I think that's one of the problems here. I think Jerry just should have moved on and gone after Belichick or somebody else. But look, for all the money that Jerry has, there is a strong element, and I think he's great for the NFL, and he deserves his bust in the Hall of Fame. And I think he, as a marketing genius, has raised the league and the Cowboys to unprecedented heights. But, man, can he be cheap. He does not like to pay coaches to not work for him. Are you kidding me? I mean, he does not like to do that. And this would have been the year to make the change. And they clearly thought about it because they issued this statement that we're bringing back the coach. Who does that? What functional organization in the NFL says, oh, yeah, we're not firing our coach? No, they should have. And he should have paid him to go away so he could have tried to upgrade and hold this team together and improve this team and move forward and try to finally get back to the NFC Championship game after a 29-year absence. That is amazing to me. The fact that the Cowboys played for the right to go to the Super Bowl in 16 of the first 30 Super Bowls, and they've yet to play for the right to go to the Super Bowl in the 28th since then.
Wow.
That's amazing to me.
Talking about all that, and people are bringing this up on our fan text, you know, are the Cowboys like kind of, I don't want to say purposely trying to blow this thing up, but is there any element to the idea that they don't want this thing? And like you said with Mike, they could have given him a one-year extension or whatever. They don't want this thing to succeed this year, so they have an excuse to make changes and blow it up.
I don't know that. Look, this gets back to the thing that dawned on me as we were trying to decipher what all in means and why they didn't go all in. And I just think at some level, I don't know that Jerry is truly being honest with the fans when he does the whole, you'd be shocked at the size of the check that I would write if it would guarantee a Super Bowl and I want me some glory hole and all the things he's said over the years. I think what he ultimately wants to do is keep the Cowboys profile and profitable and look at the value of the team. And they're still America's team, even though they haven't played in the conference championship game since January of 1996. They're still the biggest draw. They're still the team. You know, the Sunday ticket trial, I don't know how much you guys talked about that, but if the NFL's broadcast antitrust exemption ever went away and the teams had to sell their own rights, the Cowboys, and he singled out the Bengals when Jerry testified at the trial, the Cowboys would get dramatically more money than any team. They are the most marketable, profitable, significant brand in the NFL, and he's kept them there without a good football team. I just wonder how much of him and his shtick is the carnival barker outside the big top tent doing a hell of a job getting people to go inside, no matter what the quality of the flea circus is that's going on inside the three-ring circus.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, Football Night in America, joining us with the 6 a.m. Club. I asked you, hey, should we talk about Father of Mine? And you said, no, Son of Mine?
Sequel to Father of Mine coming September 3rd, baby, and it's ready to go. And I remember when I did Father of Mine, I thought, I don't know if this is any good. And I got really great feedback on it. I say, well, I guess it was pretty good. This one, I look at it and I say, this thing is good, baby. It's coming. If you haven't read the first book, read it now. You got a couple of months. And I've written it so it kind of stands alone. So it could be that somebody finds it and reads the second book and says, hey, that was pretty good. I'll go read the first book. But September 3rd, I'll make sure you guys have copies. And I'll make sure I pester you to get me on so I can, you know, get all the Cowboys fans feeling all warm and fuzzy about the chances of the team to finally get back to the NFC Championship.
Thank you, brother. It is a treat to get you on this early, unlike the Super Bowl. So we appreciate you.
Hey, I'm sorry. Hey, if I was in Las Vegas today, I would not have taken your call. It's all about time zone.
I think your wife.
Jet lag. I've learned that when you have jet lag, you can milk that apparently for like 2 weeks. That becomes an excuse for like 2 weeks now. So I'm all over jet lag.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised your wife didn't block my number herself after we were hanging out in Vegas. Thank you, Mike. Happy 4th, man. You're the best.
All right. See you guys.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Another friend of the show has been banned from Philadelphia because of a concession stand. What happened to the Burger King? Next on Sean and RJ. We have broadcasting and player scandals to bring you for the 6 a.m. Club. Thanks to Mike Florio with the special appearance. Last segment from ProFootballTalk.com talking about the possible Cowboys implosion in a month when the entire radio station is going to be in Oxnard, California for Cowboys training camp.
3 weeks.
This story hit me in the feels yesterday. Howard Eskin, longtime nemesis of the Sean and RJ show, Mr. Philadelphia, a.k.a. the Burger King, Eagles sideline reporter, WIP in Filthy, has been barred from Citizens Bank Park for the remainder of the Philly season after an investigation found the longtime Philly broadcaster made an unwanted advance toward a female concession employee.
Yeah, it was Aramark, which is like, you know, a concession stand company, right? They you know, provide the concessions, like kind of like Legends Entertainment, which is a joint Cowboys Yankees venture that now has dozens of stadiums around the country. Aramark is the other big one, and it sounds like he made an unwanted advance
in May.
In May, at a concession stand worker. Now, it may have been somebody in the front office, the manager. It may have been somebody working the concession stand in the media press box. May have been somebody in the stands.
The employee, according to sources, accused the 73-year-old Eskin of giving her an unwanted kiss at the ballpark, which resulted in an investigation. And then our company, Odyssey, also the parent company of WIP, and Howie's employer confirmed the unwelcome kiss in a statement, and it was their suggestion that Eskin be banned for for the rest of the baseball season. He was reportedly sitting in the exclusive area behind home plate when the incident happened. So was this someone that like was delivering? I've sat one time in those awesome, well, twice. And they bring you food and drinks. Like,
oh, yeah.
You get it brought to you. Shout
food
out
runners.
Kyle, Emerald Custom Pools hooked me up with these dream seats during the World Series. And I'm like, wait, you don't have to get up and go to any concession stand? You don't have to order? Are you freaking kidding me? So I don't know whether it was that person, but Odyssey initiated the ban. And then someone yesterday who works in Philly said he has not been at the ballpark since late April, early May. This explains it.
That
he's the best.
I'm fascinated to see what else comes out of this in terms of more details, because I do. Yeah, you know, was it one of those food runners? Because like, if it's behind the counter,
yeah, how are you going to get to it behind the counter?
I know there's a lot of questions that I still want to get answered, because this is wild. Like, this is, I mean, first of all, it's completely inappropriate, but also I can't even envision a situation where he would be in a position to do that. How did this happen? And at what kind of creepy old man vibes are we getting here? My gosh.
Well, much to the delight of many of you who have given us grief for years, every time we've done crosstalk with the enemy, this is probably the end now, Pepe. You will not be dialing up Howard Eskin to preview the Eagles moving forward because...
Oh, really?
Well, I mean... I know you can excuse anything.
Yeah.
You don't care about any of that. Not the act, but...
Not excusing the act.
I know you don't think you should disqualify. We can't have him on without bringing this up or taking a shot
at him. Oh, no. We absolutely we bring him on and we absolutely say... we absolutely take shots at this. You know,
he's not going to be cool with that.
We can slyly ask the questions. So, Howard, do you think... You know, when the Eagles are they... Do they have any concessions about this year's, the team against the Cowboys? We can kind of throw things in there.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Who's concession stand jokes.
Yeah.
Like we did the cheese references.
Kiss me on the phone.
Who's the big... Yeah. There you go, Peyton. Good stuff.
What is this?
Kiss Me on the Phone by Soulja Boy.
Oh, dude, this is like an intro music for him?
Basically.
Yeah. All right, what other type of vending...
Who's the big hot dog on the team this year?
Atolo said, the wrong kind of brotherly love, Howard.
Yeah, the wrong kind.
Someone said, did he ask her, do you want to have it your way? Oh, Burger King reference.
Dear God.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, it is.
Right there. So, Howard Eskin, will he survive? How long will he be on leave? Is he still going to be the Eagles sideline reporter? He's got Big Dom there to keep him in check during Eagle games.
Yeah, Big Dom ain't going to let anything happen. Because he's back. Dom's back.
Imagine being 73 and going to be a beat reporter, like covering baseball games. All I picture is Randy Galloway in that booth chewing on that damn cigar.
Yeah.
He wasn't 73 then, though, was he? No.
Oh, he was. I mean, he was at games all the time, and he would write when he was still writing.
But I'm talking like 10 or 11 years ago when we saw him in the booth, in the press box.
Was he 73 then? He might have been. He might have been close. Not quite 70. Maybe late 60s, early 70s. But he wasn't on a beat necessarily. He was just a columnist, writing.
Okay, 81. He's 81 years old.
Randy is. So yeah, he's late 60s.
Wow. And there's Howie, 73, banned from Philly games. You see this story with the Tigers broadcaster,
Craig Monroe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been following that?
Not really. I just saw that yesterday.
He's been taken off the air, accused of grooming and sexual abuse. Sports broadcaster, former Tiger, 47-year-old Craig Monroe, was taken off the air indefinitely after he was accused of sexually abusing a woman since she was a minor.
12.
This is a 35-year-old woman now, went to social media with these allegations last month, said starting at the age of 12, he was in his early 20s, that he sexually assaulted her for years. Fox 2 spoke with her. She asked to remain anonymous. Her family was his host family.
Yeah.
When he played for a minor league baseball team in the early 2000s, it started with Monroe coming into her room to fondle her and it escalated from there, eventually leading to intercourse, according to her, when she was 15 years old. Once she turned 18, the two of them were in an ongoing consensual and sexual relationship. However, he would prostitute her to his friends and acquaintances.
It's sick. Yeah, so like you'll see this. And I don't know if you see it as much now as you did then. You definitely see it in hockey, where they have these, it's called billet. It's a billet family. Like you're living with a host family. You see it a lot like in the Cape Cod League, where you go to a host family. I didn't know they had the minor leagues, and they might not anymore. But this is obviously one of the scary situations that families put themselves in, welcoming a stranger to their home. They have no idea what that person's capable of. They're doing it. You know, they're trying to make a little bit of extra money on the side, and they have an extra space, and they're doing something nice for the community. But this is obviously something that you do not plan for and do not expect is going to happen, and you have sick individuals who wind up doing something like this, it ruined your child.
Bobby just texted Gateway Church about to hire Craig Monroe as their new pastor.
Bobby.
Timely. And he has been with the Tigers as a broadcaster, it looks like, since 2012, immediately taken off the air by Bally.
Yeah, they have a situation kind of like the Rangers do, where they have a bunch of different guys that do the game. So they just haven't scheduled him while they investigate this.
Remember Cam Payne?
Cameron Artist Payne?
Not the Cam Payne. Cam Payne. He was on that Suns team that imploded and got embarrassed by the Mavericks. Well, the NBA free agent was arrested last month after a late night incident because of a fake name. Police arrested him
in Mexico
on the morning of June 14th, according to TMZ. He made the 911 call that led to it all. That's gotta hurt. Scottsdale police said that
he does not like to do that. And this would have been the year to make the change. And they clearly thought about it because they issued the statement that we're bringing back the coach. Who does that? What functional organization in the NFL says, oh, yeah, we're not firing our coach? No, they should have. And he should have paid him to go away so he could have tried to upgrade and hold this team together and improve this team and move forward and try to finally get back to the NFC Championship game after a 29-year absence. That is amazing to me. The fact that the Cowboys played for the right to go to the Super Bowl in 16 of the first 30 Super Bowls, and they've yet to play for the right to go to the Super Bowl in the 28th since then.
Wow.
That's amazing to me.
Talking about all that, and people are bringing this up on our fan text, you know, are the Cowboys like kind of, I don't want to say purposely trying to blow this thing up, but is there any element to the idea that they don't want this thing? And like you said with Mike, they could have given him a one-year extension or whatever. They don't want this thing to succeed this year, so they have an excuse to make changes and blow it up.
I don't know that. Look, this gets back to the thing that dawned on me as we were trying to decipher what all in means and why they didn't go all in. And I just think at some level, I don't know that Jerry is truly being honest with the fans when he does the whole, you'd be shocked at the size of the check that I would write if it would guarantee a Super Bowl and I want me some glory hole and all the things he's said over the years. Yeah. I think what he ultimately wants to do is keep the Cowboys profile and profitable and look at the value of the team. And they're still America's team, even though they haven't played in the conference championship game since January of 1996. They're still the biggest draw. They're still the team. You know, the Sunday ticket trial, I don't know how much you guys talked about that, but if the NFL's broadcast antitrust exemption ever went away and the teams had to sell their own rights, the Cowboys, and he singled out the Bengals when Jerry testified at the trial, the Cowboys would get dramatically more money than any team. They are the most marketable, profitable, significant brand in the NFL, and he's kept them there without a good football team. I just wonder how much of him and his shtick is the carnival barker outside the big top tent doing a hell of a job getting people to go inside, no matter what the quality of the flea circus is that's going on inside the three-ring circus.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, Football Night in America, joining us with the 6 a.m. Club. I asked you, hey, should we talk about Father of Mine? And you said, no, Son of Mine?
Sequel to Father of Mine coming September 3rd, baby, and it's ready to go. And I remember when I did Father of Mine, I thought, I don't know if it's any good. And I got really great feedback on it. I say, well, I guess it was pretty good. This one, I look at it and I say, this thing is good, baby. It's coming. If you haven't read the first book, read it now. You got a couple of months. And I've written it so it kind of stands alone. So it could be that somebody finds it and reads the second book and says, hey, that was pretty good. I'll go read the first book. But September 3rd, I'll make sure you guys have copies. And I'll make sure I pester you to get me on so I can, you know, get all the Cowboys fans feeling all warm and fuzzy about the chances of the team to finally get back to the NFC Championship.
Thank you, brother. It is a treat to get you on this early, unlike the Super Bowl. So we appreciate you.
Hey, I'm sorry. Hey, if I was in Las Vegas today, I would not have taken your call. It's all about time zones.
I think your wife.
Jet lag. I've learned that when you have jet lag, you can milk that apparently for like 2 weeks. That becomes an excuse for like 2 weeks now. So I'm all over jet lag.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised your wife didn't block my number herself after we were hanging out in Vegas. Thank you, Mike. Happy 4th, man. You're the best.
All right. See you guys.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Another friend of the show has been banned from Philadelphia because of a concession stand. What happened to the Burger King? Next on Sean and RJ. We have broadcasting and player scandals to bring you for the 6 a.m. Club. Thanks to Mike Florio with the special appearance. Last segment from ProFootballTalk.com talking about the possible Cowboys implosion in a month when the entire radio station is going to be in Oxnard, California for Cowboys training camp.
3 weeks.
This story hit me in the feels yesterday. Howard Eskin, longtime nemesis of the Sean and RJ show, Mr. Philadelphia, a.k.a. the Burger King, Eagles sideline reporter, WIP in Filthy, has been barred from Citizens Bank Park for the remainder of the Philly season after an investigation found the longtime Philly broadcaster made an unwanted advance toward a female concession employee.
Yeah, it was Aramark, which is like, you know, a concession stand company, right? They you know, provide the concessions, like kind of like Legends Entertainment, which is a joint Cowboys Yankees venture that now has dozens of stadiums around the country. Aramark is the other big one, and it sounds like he made an unwanted advance
in May.
In May, at a concession stand worker. Now, it may have been somebody in the front office, the manager. It may have been somebody working the concession stand in the media press box. May have been somebody in the stands.
The employee, according to sources, accused the 73-year-old Eskin of giving her an unwanted kiss at the ballpark, which resulted in an investigation. And then our company, Odyssey, also the parent company of WIP, and Howie's employer confirmed the unwelcome kiss in a statement, and it was their suggestion that Eskin be banned for the rest of the baseball season. He was reportedly sitting in the exclusive area behind home plate when the incident happened. So was this someone that like was delivering? I've sat one time in those awesome, well, twice, and they bring you food and drinks. Like,
oh, yeah.
You get it brought to you. Shout
out to
Kyle, Emerald Custom Pools. Hooked me up with these dream seats during the World Series. And I'm like, wait, you don't have to get up and go to any concession stand? You don't have to order? Are you freaking kidding me? So I don't know whether it was that person, but Odyssey initiated the ban. And then someone yesterday who works in Philly said he has not been at the ballpark since late April, early May. This explains it.
He's the best.
I'm fascinated to see what else comes out of this in terms of more details, because I do, you know, was it one of those food runners? Like, because like, if it's behind the counter,
yeah, how are you going to get to it behind the counter?
I know there's a lot of questions that I still want to get answered, because this is wild. Like, this is, I mean, first of all, it's completely inappropriate, but also I can't even envision a situation where he would be in a position to do that. How did this happen? And at what kind of creepy old man vibes are we getting here? My gosh.
Well, much to the delight of many of you who have given us grief for years, every time we've done crosstalk with the enemy, this is probably the end now, Pepe. You will not be dialing up Howard Eskin to preview the Eagles moving forward because...
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, I know you can excuse anything. Yeah. You don't care about any of that. Not the act, but.
Not excusing the act.
I know you don't think you should disqualify. We can't have him on without bringing this up or taking a shot
at him. Oh, no. We absolutely we bring him on and we absolutely say, we absolutely take shots at this. You know,
he's not going to be cool with that.
We can slyly ask the questions. So, Howard, do you think, you know, when the Eagles do they have any concessions about this year's, the team against the Cowboys? We can kind of throw things in there.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Who's concession stand jokes.
Yeah.
Like we did the cheese references.
Kiss me on the phone.
Who's the big? Yeah. There you go, Peyton. Good stuff.
Is this?
Kiss Me on the Phone by Soulja Boy.
I'll do this as like an intro music for him.
Basically.
Yeah. All right, what other type of vending?
Who's the big hot dog on the team this year?
Atolo said, the wrong kind of brotherly love, Howard.
Yeah, the wrong kind.
Someone said, did he ask her, do you want to have it your way? Oh, Burger King reference.
Dear God.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, it is.
Right there. So, Howard Eskin, will he survive? How long will he be on leave? Is he still going to be the Eagles sideline reporter? He's got Big Dom there to keep him in check during Eagle games.
Yeah, Big Dom ain't going to let anything happen. Because he's back. Dom's back.
Imagine being 73 and going to be a beat reporter like covering baseball games. All I have pictures, Randy Galloway in that booth chewing on that damn cigar. Yeah. He wasn't 73 then, though, was he? No.
Oh, he was. I mean, he was at games all the time, and he would write when he was still writing.
But I'm talking like 10 or 11 years ago when we saw him in the booth, in the press box.
Was he 73 then? Yeah. He might have been. He might have been close. Not quite 70. Maybe late 60s, early 70s. But he wasn't on a beat necessarily. He was just a columnist, writing.
Okay, 81. He's 81 years old.
Randy is. So yeah, he's late 60s.
Wow. And there's Howie, 73, banned from Philly games. You see this story with the Tigers broadcaster?
Craig Monroe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been following that?
Not really. I just saw that yesterday.
He's been taken off the air, accused of grooming and sexual abuse. Sports broadcaster, former Tiger, 47-year-old Craig Monroe, was taken off the air indefinitely after he was accused of sexually abusing a woman since she was a minor.
12.
This is a 35-year-old woman now, went to social media with these allegations last month, said starting at the age of 12, he was in his early 20s, that he sexually assaulted her for years. Fox 2 spoke with her. She asked to remain anonymous. Her family was his host family.
Yeah.
When he played for a minor league baseball team in the early 2000s, it started with Monroe coming into her room to fondle her, and it escalated from there, eventually leading to intercourse, according to her, when she was 15 years old. Once she turned 18, the two of them were in an ongoing consensual and sexual relationship. However, he would prostitute her to his friends and acquaintances.
It's sick. So like you'll see this. I don't know if you see it as much now as you did then. You definitely see it in hockey where they have these, it's called billet. It's a billet family. Like you're living with a host family. You see it a lot like in the Cape Cod League where you go to a host family. I didn't know they had the minor leagues, and they might not anymore, but this is obviously one of the scary situations that families put themselves in, welcoming a stranger to their home. They have no idea what that person's capable of. They're doing it. You know, they're trying to make a little bit of extra money on the side, and they have an extra space, and they're doing something nice for the community. But this is obviously something that you do not plan for and do not expect is going to happen, and you have sick individuals who wind up doing something like this, it ruined your child.
Bobby just texted Gateway Church about to hire Craig Monroe as their new pastor.
Bobby.
Timely. And he has been with the Tigers as a broadcaster, it looks like, since 2012, immediately taken off the air by Bally.
Yeah, so they have a situation kind of like the Rangers do, where they have a bunch of different guys that do the game. So they just haven't scheduled him while they investigate this.
Remember Cam Payne? Not
Cameron Artist Payne?
Not the Cam Payne. Cam Payne. He was on that Suns team that imploded and got embarrassed by the Mavericks. Well, the NBA free agent was arrested last month after a late night incident because of a fake name. Police arrested him
in Mexico
on the morning of June 14th, according to TMZ. He made the 911 call that led to it all. That's gotta hurt. Scottsdale police said that Cameron Payne called them at around 2:44 a.m. after getting into an argument with his girlfriend. Police showed up and the couple said, "Your presence is no longer required. We don't need you." Officers said, "Okay, we can finish the investigation if you give us your name and date of birth. We got to fill out the paperwork." Payne refused to tell them who he was, repeatedly telling them that his name is Terry Johnson.
Hmm.
Not Ron Mexico.
No.
Terry Johnson. Police then said, "We think you're lying to us." And he said, "That's fine." He eventually wrote his name down, but told them, "No, that's my fake name. Can you please leave?" At that point, they said, "If you don't give us your real info, you're getting handcuffed and arrested." He said, "If you want to arrest me for giving you a fake name, congratulations."
Well, they did.
And that's exactly what they did. Arrested him, took him to jail, two separate charges. Now, you may be asking yourself, how can I get arrested for not giving my real name and an alias or whatever?
Is that obstruction?
One count of refusal to provide a truthful name and one count of false report to law enforcement. Ah. So there you go. Old Terry Johnson.
Terry Johnson,
getting
man.
Getting locked up, and he called the cops on himself.
Terry, does Terry Johnson have a better NBA career ahead of him than the campaign does? And all, what, 7 points and 2 rebounds and 3 assists? Fake name. I think a lot of athletes, I assume this is his alias that he has anyway. This is his Ron Mexico. This
right.
is his hotel name.
Yes.
Because everybody knows that when Cameron Payne shows up at the Hampton Inn, that everyone's just going to be flooding the lobby and the continental breakfast and the fake eggs. We're all going to be flooded down there.
Phil, would that be your alias now? Phil Russell?
Yeah, I guess it's stuck around Phil. I don't know what else you would call me. I like Peyton, but yeah, I guess we'll go with Phil.
Okay, yeah, Mike Bassett would say Phil Russ. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's a perfect question and topic to ask what RJ Choppy's alias would be, because I'm sure you've thought of it many times.
You know, I had a good one back in college. I forgot what it is now. I think right now I just call myself Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There it is. Kevin Hagelin would be proud. It's Sean and RJ. Bobby will be back on Friday. Thanks for being a Tolo, y'all. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, a loaded first 90 minutes of the show. Let's keep it going. RJ Choppy is going to campaign for your Texas Rangers, the home run derby that you're actually going to see in Arlington. And what's Klay Thompson really like? All that on the way as the Hump Day Edition. Good morning, Ollie, and happy birthday in a few days, little man. We continue on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.